This is In the News for April 5th, 2006. I'm Scott Berguin from KSOWLP in Cottage Grove, Oregon. First story today is out of Reuters on their AlertNet concerning Somalia. It's written by C. Bryson Hull out of Nairobi yesterday, April 4th. Somalia's worst fighting in years suggests the failed Horn of Africa state may become a new proxy battleground for Islamist militants and the United States. Washington sees Somalia as a terrorist haven and backs the warlords in Mogadishu, which may have galvanized the Islamists against them both, analysts say. A battle in March pitted warlords calling themselves the Anti-Terrorism Coalition against Islamic fighters backed by the influential Islamic courts. As many as 90 people were killed in the fighting. A widely held perception that the United States backs the warlords with weapons, money, and surveillance prompted Islamist hardliners to start a fight that killed 37 people in February, hours after the coalition announced its presence. What has many worried is that these two battles were seen as a fight between the United States and Islam. The U.S. backing for the warlords has, in fact, strengthened the position of the Islamists and, quote, helped extreme elements to get the Somali public behind them, end quote, an official involved with Somalia told Reuters. While the Islamic courts are not viewed as extremists, they and their supporters are seen as sympathetic to al-Qaeda and foreign fighters who operate in Somalia, the official said. Others say the Islamic courts, whose leaders have blamed the United States for supporting warlords, want to fight any attempt to create a government that would undermine their authority. Complicating things is what many say are some dissenting voices in the U.S. government over what the priority in Somalia should be, Washington's counterterrorism agenda, or diplomatic efforts to help its riven interim government succeed. Jindai Frazier, the top U.S. diplomat for Africa, would not directly answer allegations of U.S. backing for warlords, but she did say counterterrorism in East Africa is a big concern. She said, quote, we look for allies, we look for governments that are part of that coalition that are also taking an aggressive stance against al-Qaeda and terrorist elements, end quote. Frazier told this to reporters in Kinshasa this past week when asked about Somalia. If counterterrorism wins out, diplomats in Somalia's peace process say that could turn it into another Iraq-like area where militants come to fight what they see as a Western war on Islam. One Western diplomat said, quote, that is the fear we all have, end quote. Nearly everyone interviewed for this story did not want to talk on the record for fear of inflaming the situation. Somalia is on its 14th bid in almost 15 years to establish a government. The interim administration of President Abdullahi Yusuf is just starting to heal a rift that has all but paralyzed it since its formation in Kenya in late 2004. Again, this is a Reuters AlertNet written by C. Bryson Hull. Next up from Associated Press, transit strike in Denver strands thousands, written by Kim Nguyen. Hundreds of thousands of Denver area commuters face the prospect of carpooling, biking, or walking to work Monday after transit workers voted to strike for the first time in 24 years. About 200 bus drivers, mechanics, and light rail operators for the Regional Transportation District hit the picket lines early Monday, dispersing to bus stops and light rail stations around the metropolitan area, said Todd Platten, an executive board member of the Amalgamated Transit Union Local 1001. Strikers walked back and forth on the street in small groups, bundled up on the cold spring morning, and held signs that read, quote, RTD, put us on the street, but we'd rather be serving you, end quote, and also, RTD, not fair, end quote. Officials said it would run 45% of its bus routes, but rail service, regional service, transit centers, and the 16th Street Mall in downtown Denver would be shut down. Local 1001 president Yvette Salazar said, quote, our members have been working 7 days a week without a day off and have worked for 3 years without a wage increase. We want to apologize to our riders, but the workers are extremely tired. This is the last straw, end quote. Strike hampered bus and train service for a system that had 86.2 million passengers boardings last year, averaging about 275,000 per weekday, as well as fans expected to pack Coors Field for the Colorado Rockies' first day of the baseball season. There's more on this at newstandardnews.net, and that, of course, is an Associated Press story written by Kim Nguyen. And finally today, from the latest issue of High Country News, dated April 3rd, 2006, this story, written by Randy Stapilis, and this is out of Oregon, no clear victory for property rights activists. A recent Oregon court ruling has bolstered a west-wide effort to force local governments to compensate landowners who lose property value to land use regulations, but celebrations may be premature. On February 21st, the Oregon Supreme Court upheld Measure 37, which was originally passed by the state's voters in November 2004, but declared unconstitutional by a lower court last October. Under Measure 37, residents who think new land use laws have damaged their property values can demand either compensation or waiver of the rules. Landowners around the state have filed about 2,500 applications under the measure, many proposing new subdivisions on farmland. Activists are considering similar measures in about a dozen states, including Utah, Colorado, Nevada, Arizona, and Wyoming, says Ross Day, Legal Affairs Director for the pro-Measure 37 group, Oregonians in Action. The Washington Farm Bureau is pushing to put a measure on the November ballot that would, quote, require compensation when any government regulation damages the use or value of private property, end quote, and forbid regulations that prohibit existing legal uses of private property. It would allow some exceptions. Day said, quote, what we're telling folks is full steam ahead, end quote. But even Measure 37 supporters acknowledge that the issue remains unsettled. Oregon Attorney General Hardy Myers has opined that the Measure 37 prerogatives are linked to the owner, not to the land. In other words, a farmer who has owned land for 40 years, since before even early land use rules were passed, could build a subdivision, but a developer probably couldn't buy that land and then do so, since the rules would have been in place at the time of his purchase. Health, safety, and other land development requirements remain in place. Developers and their financial backers have said they're queasy about legal risks associated with Measure 37 claims. According to Ken Sherman with the Oregon Bankers Association, the measure, quote, will almost certainly make real estate lending more unpredictable, end quote. Again, that's from High Country News at hcn.org. This has been In the News for April 5th, 2006. I'm Scott Berguin from KSOWLP in Cottage Grove, Oregon. Talk to you next time.